I think I missed my favorite line. On a Christmas morning
with a brand new toy, I'm in love. All right. That's my line, yeah.
Thank you very much. That very Bobby Womack lead there, but that song there was written by Bobby Womack. Did anyone know that there? Okay, Phil knew that there. It's good. Good. Thank you, Phil. But Bobby Womack wrote that song for Wilson Pickett. He didn't sing it himself till later because he was good friends with another soul artist by the name of Sam Cooke. Some of you might remember Sam Cooke. Sam Cooke died tragically. And he was the best friend of Bobby Womack. Bobby Womack ended up marrying Sam Cooke's widow about 6 months after his death. And no one would play Bobby Womack's songs anymore because they felt how egregious that was. And so Bobby Womack was so shut out, wanting to cry out his love for this woman when he could not get any airplay, so he had Wilson Pickett sing it. And Wilson Pickett did make a great hit out of it. Later, it would be made a number one on the R&B charts by the late Aretha Franklin. She would do it. And then the late Tom Petty would actually redo that song and release it in the 80s, something maybe you know from the Heartbreakers. But for me, and what a great song, what a great name for a band to sing that song. But the song to me, it was always Wilson Pickett's version that got me. Matter of fact, I used to sing the song a lot, and when I first started coming back to church, back in the 90s, I went to a church that met at night, and my pastor was Ken Gullickson, and they used to lay hands on me before I would go out and play these Irish pubs, and I'd go by myself, and whatever band was there, I would play with them, and I would do that song, and I'll never forget all those Irish guys sitting there crying at the front of the stage when I would play that song. Everyone wants to be loved. And then they would fight right after that, but Wilson Pickett, when he sings it, it's like it's coming from his guts. And that line where he says, I feel just like a baby boy on Christmas morning with a brand new toy. It's something that touches us this Christmas in the time. Because I think we all want that desire to be loved and that desire to have love. And that's really what Christmas is about, is love, as we go through these things here. It's not about a brand new toy, but it is about a brand new baby boy. And that baby boy would be Jesus Christ. And this Jesus Christ is the one who comes and still is the one who brings love. And we sing this verse earlier for this reason, so you'd hear it again. When we read in the Gospels, John's Gospel in 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. We often think of that with a soteriological, that's a big word, says about salvation, pointing towards the cross and his resurrection. And we don't really think about the fact that the Father gave this baby boy to live life and to be the giver of life, and that we receive life through this gift of love that is there, and that the love has always been that. If you'll go on and read John 3:17, he did not come to judge the world, but he came to rescue, to love the world. And this whole idea about the love of Jesus Christ at Christmas time often gets passed over because, quite honestly, you know, we don't, you know, no matter what the world tried to do with Jesus, they tried to extinguish him, they tried to kill him. He sits at the right hand of the Father, continued to dispel love, but something has done something that's really hurt love at Christmas, and that's called Black Friday. That there has really tried to extinguish love at Christmas time. When people are pushed through plate glass windows and good loving mothers are fighting over toys that are on sale. Yes. So we begin to see this brokenness in our idea of Christmas about the gift, missing the gift that is the baby boy. And we begin to think of the brand new toy, if you will. You know, we've been talking about this whole idea of the nativity sitting on the mantle, the fireplace mantle. And most of our nativities have had years to them. And they're cracked, they're broken. The more super glues in your nativity than porcelain. We know that now. It's overwhelmed it. And understanding that you can always buy another nativity, another manger set. But you can't buy another heart. And you can't buy something that heals the broken heart. No gal, no man, Nothing heals the broken heart except Jesus Christ, except God. And we think of Jesus, we think of Psalm 34:18, when the Lord says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. That's a Christmas promise that I'm giving to all of us this year, that he's near the brokenhearted. Because we enter Christmas and love comes shining through the Savior. The first thing we think is wow, what happened to my love? Why is this new? Why is this rarefied air for me? Why don't I feel this all the time? Jesus would say this here, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. We got that. He sent me to heal who? Broken heart. This is his Magna Carta. This is his vision statement. When he comes and unrolls a scroll, I'm going to preach to the poor and I'm going to heal the brokenhearted. Most of them. Maybe some of you he's not. That's not what he's saying. And I'm not saying everyone gets rescued, but we all get redeemed and the heart can be redeemed. It's not always redeemed, and we'll talk about that, but it can be. See, life can resemble a broken Christmas manger, and Jesus came to heal broken lives. That's what he came to do. He didn't come to put more rules on you so that you feel more broken and disastrous. Now, Tony, you're new here. And the first thing that happens when you come to church is you get hit by a car and you about break your hip. Or I don't know what you broke. Talk about brokenness. And the Lord just moving in your life. What a beautiful statement of the healing of Jesus, because it's been more than your walk, your gait that is straightened out. I've just seen the presence of God on your life. And I thank you for being here. Because when you went down, you didn't say, well, I can't go back to church. You came and you were part and shared your healing with us. Philip Baker here almost died not that long, a month or so ago, getting West Nile virus. He didn't make the paper. He's a little upset with that. But the point is, here today. In that. But some of us, we can do the physical healing, but when it gets to the heart, don't take me there, man. Don't take me where the heart can't go. Well, the love that we think of Christmas doesn't seem to match up with the love that we have today. Right, Glenn? It doesn't get us there. But the truth is, I want to read what I think is one of the most perfect Christmas stories there are. And it's devoid of the manger. It's devoid of the angels singing and the line of shepherds coming. It doesn't seem to have all of the combustible, beautiful things of miracles. There is an angel, notwithstanding. But he, too, is involved here. And we begin to look and see that the binding of the wounds is going on. The demonstration of healing is found here. So if we can pray, we're going to look at this. And we're going to look at our last one. Now, we'll be Christmas Eve. We're going to meet tomorrow night. We'll talk some more. We'll wrap these things up there, and we're going to sing some more of these great songs. I think they're great. I enjoy singing them. But this will be the last time you really hear that Christmas message in this sermon series. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we invite your presence. I ask you to come, Holy Spirit, to make the ground soft that is our hearts. Would you plow up the fallow ground right now? Because, man, I tell you, I really need you to get in deep. Because love to me is something that I can fake all day long. But to feel again and have hope again and desire peace again, to have peace again, and to go into these things of that are there, we ask that you come right now and deal with our hearts. Let joy come. Let joy come in the morning and dissolve what has kept our hearts from feeling the Christmas love, the love of Jesus, the love that came from the Father for us. We ask those things in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 1:18, I read this story to you, the story of Christmas love. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. Now, I want to remind you that Matthew and Luke are the only ones who have a Christmas story, and so we've tried to move around for you, but this one here's my Matthewan story. It's here. it says, his mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to put that in today's words. Before they could be married, this loving couple, she got knocked up. Now, that sounds horrible, but I want you to capture how this would have come across. It wasn't beautiful. Oh, she didn't walk in and say, the Holy Spirit has impregnated me. And everyone, oh, that's gorgeous. That's awesome. It's not what went on. There's no way that went on. It never happened before. It's never happened since. And don't try this at home because you won't be believed. Nor was she. You can imagine how Joseph must have felt. Now, we don't know all the backstory that's there. If you come from a Catholic background, you may have more of an understanding of this than maybe some of us others do. What we might feel extra biblical, you might find to be historical. But the truth is, either way, Joseph is really excited about getting married, I'm sure, to this young girl, and she's pregnant now. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly, which he could have done a lot worse than that. Some say he could have had her stoned, whether or not they were stoning women for these type of misdeeds. By the way, no man was at fault here. It never really is. But socially speaking, okay, right? I hate to say that. But she's bearing this on her own. And Joseph could have done a lot. He could have really ruined her. But he's going to be a good man. And he loves the law. He's going to stand by the law. After he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Now, it would take an angelic visit to get that done, would it not? And I might want another one to make sure I wasn't liquored up or something, or eating the wrong thing. She will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. So he gets a call, and he gets a purpose for that call. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God's with us. Obviously, if you go back to Isaiah and look at this promise, it could be taken in a different way, but this is what the gospel writers have attributed to this, and this is what we pick up and say, prophetically speaking in Isaiah, was Jesus to come and to be this Messiah, born of a virgin. We stand on that. It's in our bylaws, and it's in my heart, Jesus born to a virgin. God with us. And there's the ticket. God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded, and he took Mary as his wife. I'm sure there was a lot more than just one sentence that went there to that, Gordon. I'm sure he did some talking with somebody. What do you think of this, huh? I mean, the angel told me to do it. How many people you think really stood beside him on that one? How many people said, yeah, you should marry her then, man, because if that was an angel, there you go. I'm sure his dad probably said, you know, I don't know, son. You're a little religious spirit, you know. You need to back off. This is going to be tough. He did not consummate the marriage until she gave birth to his son. That alone, for most of us, would have been a challenge. And he gave him the name Jesus. Now, I'm trying to put it to you, the difficulty of this first Christmas setting. When we think of love and absence of all the problems, that's what Christmas is about. Well, that wasn't the first Christmas. The first Christmas had a lot of intrigue. You could have had cheaters involved in that. You could have watched that show. You could have certainly done a reality television show on the whole thing. It brought in every bitter and broken thing that could be. It is a powerful part of our Christmas story because it's the one that deals with relationship as the miracle that's here. And most of us pass over the fact that there's healing of relationship, love, going on right here that supersedes maybe even the angels singing to the shepherds for some of us. Joseph and Mary, the broken heart of Joseph, the broken heart of Mary, who said yes as the Lord called her to something and knew that this pretty much meant no to Joseph because she pretty much expected to get dumped, if not worse. Would you not think so? But she was willing to be alone and have nothing to do what God had called her to do. And Joseph, who's taking on this risk, his reputation is being taken into account here as well. This is a difficult thing. But Joseph does it. And for me, I know in my life, when Teresa and I were dating, the Lord told me, he said, I want you, if you will father the children, I'll give you the wife of the dreams. Teresa was divorced. And I was going to be a pastor. And I thought that that's not really going to play well, you see. But I loved her. But I was caught in this situation of wondering how this plays out. I don't know how this plays out. And when I brought that to the Lord said, well, I'm going to father those children. And either you can get credit and walk in that or you don't. I made some phone calls. They were more positive. They were all positive. But it was a different time. But I was concerned how that might play out. But the Lord really reminded me that I had not been such a good little sport myself. And that I faulted her for trying to do something right and failing when I never tried to do things right. And many of us find ourselves in that boat. I would say today, when we have many single mothers today, men gone from the scene, that God will call men to walk into those situations. And if you are a single mom, I would say to you, you wait for God to call that man. You make sure that man's called. Because they're called to be a father as much as they're called to be a husband. I'm not trying to share my stuff, but make it come alive a little for you. Joseph also had to deal with the law. I loved the law. And for me, those were the things I had to deal with. I had one man come to me and say, I just want you to know, I don't think you're an adulterer. And I thanked him for that. He said, but your wife is. Beautiful. I really appreciate the love. By the way, member of the church, wasn't someone out there, and I'm not trying to share my wife's stuff because my wife is a wonderful person, and she has not suffered anything that is not common to man these days. And by the way, I hold her in higher esteem than my own self, honestly. We're not ashamed to share that story because it's the story of many. It's here. And to talk about how God heals those kind of wounds. It's not what we want. It's often what we walk into. How will we be healed this Christmas? For me, I was raised by a stepfather. I knew exactly what it felt like. And I never told him I loved him. We spent Christmas at three or four different homes to pair together families who couldn't meet with one another. Can't meet over there because Uncle Joe don't like Uncle Robert. And my Christmas was going to one house to the other just to open gifts because no one could get in the same room together because we were a divorced family of the 60s and no one knew those kind of things and did those things. And I ended up hating Christmas because of it. Come, Holy Spirit, reconcile. Come, Holy Spirit, restore that which is at a crux this binary that's opposed to one another. The law. How can I be a good man and walk in this way? How can I be a good woman and walk in this way? Show me how to walk in love. Because sometimes love challenges what we may think. Redemption was there too. Joseph to Jesus. Jesus was a bastard child, and I'm just using that language because that would have been the language at the time. And I don't mean to offend anyone with that. But that's not the way we remember him. Because Joseph was a redeemer, used by God to redeem a situation. Joseph didn't get up and think he was somebody. Rather, he stood there, waited till that baby was born. Baby born, names him Jesus. Naming is powerful in this world. He stood and gave that child the name he was told to give him. Believing in what God had told him, he named that child and fathered a child. Gave him his name and walked with him. Man, first Christmas starting to look like all the Christmases around us today. And some of you have sit here and said, my life's tore up. I don't have a normal family. I don't have this. I have a, what were you writing the other day? I think Joel wrote something on Facebook the other day, a dysfunctional family. Who's got a functional family? Don't stand up. That would be dysfunctional. You want to talk about a dysfunctional family? Here it was, first Christmas. And then here's the big one. The relationship with us to God through Jesus who came to save us from our sins. God with us. That no longer do we have to be those kind of people who don't understand that God loves them. Well, I was a bad person. I've had people say, I can't step into leadership because of the sins of my past. And I said, if Jesus' blood ain't strong enough to cover that, it can't cover anything. This baby was God's love given to mankind. Will he lie in the manger of your heart? For he lied in the manger of this world and has still sustained it to this day and continues. The love of Jesus' birth reconciles, restores, and redeems relationships. And that's the spiritual, the physical. I want to speak that over our lives this Christmas. Redeems even the ones that are lost. Brings healing to us. Deals with our grieving, brings all of joy, of gladness, even as we grieve. This Christmas always brings to mind love. But as often we remember what we've lost more than what we have. We've become a people who love victimage more than victory. We are people who realize that the bad story sells much better than the new. We're more willing to talk of all the horrible things that have happened to our life. My kids will sit around the table and talk about all the bullying that goes on because they know that plays much better than, hey, I got a great teacher at school. I don't mean that mean to play down those things. But if we would concentrate on his glorious life, much more than the brokenness, we can begin to see some glorious things. Real quick, I have some testimonies here that I think we have one or two. Yes, let's see what we have here.
Will you marry me? I'd make a good husband, Jenny.
You would, Forrest.
But you won't marry me.
You don't want to marry me.
Why don't you love me, Jenny? I'm not a smart man. But I know what love is.
Hey. Remember when you were in the Beatles and you did that album Abbey Road, and at the very end of the song, it goes, and in the end, the love you take is equal to the love you make. You remember that?
Yes.
Is that true?
Yes, Chris, in my experience it is. I find the more you give, the more you get.
Just some ideas of love there. I don't know how those come together, but obviously Jenny wasn't interested in Forrest Gump because Jenny had a past. And she couldn't receive the love that Forrest had for her. It had nothing to do with his intellect. She couldn't allow herself to be loved. And, of course, Paul McCartney has to set Chris Farley straight. But when we think of Wilson Pickett, I'm going back to the man who sang Love, Love, Love. He was a man who was born in a Baptist household like myself. Sang gospel, sang all those things that was there. Born in Alabama, like Jenny. He said he was the fourth of 11 children, and he called his mother the baddest woman he had ever met. He said, I got scared of her now. He says, I get scared of her even now. She used to hit me with anything, skillets, stove wood. One time I ran away and cried for a week, stayed in the woods, me and my little dog. Wilson Pickett would eventually leave there and go live with his father, and that's where he would become famous with great hits like Mustang Sally, Funky Broadway, 99 and a Half Ain't Enough. I think it's Land of a Thousand Dances, which I love that. Can't Wait to the Midnight Hour. Some of you younger people don't know these songs, but they're still popular today. He would become wildly famous, singing, selling millions of records. But, you know, he was in a business where there was many difficult people, but he got the name from his producer, Jerry Wexler, being called Wicked Pickett. Not because he could sing so wickedly, but Jerry Wexler said this here, Wilson Pickett's a very headstrong, tough man. He has an abrasive personality. But I never had any problems with him in the studio. Outside the studio, in the office, or in the world in general, he was not an easy person to handle. You couldn't have a discussion with him. At 18, when he had gotten married, he married a woman, and music wasn't paying off. Said when he married her and the poverty began to weigh on him, he went back to the way that things was. He was a very violent man, and he beat his wife. When his career took off, it landed pretty quickly thereafter in the 70s when disco come in. And at that point, he began to drink and use cocaine. One point, drove up into the lawn of the mayor there in Englewood, New Jersey, and cussed out the mayor. Some of you remember these stories. I loved Wilson Pickett. I followed him. Had a girlfriend. He beat her so bad when she walked down the street and they picked her up. Cops came and asked her, did he beat your girlfriend up? He said, yeah. They said, why? I said, because she snorted all my cocaine. Now, my point is, this man was a man who never knew love. He sang the song from the heart, I'm in love, but he never was in love, and he never felt love, and he never felt loved. Reflecting on his career years after his chart performance had begun to slip, he said this here to the Rolling Stone magazine. And it was in regard to him harboring mixed feelings about abandoning his gospel roots. He said, if you leave God and go to the devil, you're going to go to hell. Again, he had a bad relationship with God and where he held himself with God. He said, I wanted to sing gospel, but I wanted money too. He died at 64 of a massive heart attack. But I understand. When we've not shown love or been given love, as it has been said, we begin to find ourselves becoming people who push away from that. We begin to become rejected people, and rejected people reject other people. Have you ever figured that out? And as a rejected man in my own life, what I went through and would push away folks. And then you begin to resent people. You begin to resent anyone else making it when you're not making it. And you're jealous of all things, and you resent your own life. Because the heart has become so hard it can't allow the light, and that Jesus is sitting there shining on you. You can't take it in. And then you become reckless, just like he did. You begin to do things that bring you some joy because you got to have something, and the next thing you know, you're tearing your life apart hand by hand. It may not be the drugs or the alcohol, but it's you continue to rip your life apart. And for most of us who've struggled with any addictions or things, we realize there was just this sense of, I'm nothing, I'm nobody. No one could love me, and I could love nobody. And you resign yourself to just sorry little life. Am I hitting on any doors, knocking on any doors? Paul would write it like this in Colossians 1. He says, once you were alienated from God, and you were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. Once you were. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. That's a hard one to buy into. But it's the Christmas story because it is the gift of love that comes through the Christ child. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out of the gospel. Not that if you'd never make a mistake again, but if you'll continue in your faith, continuing to come to the manger and feeding there, this child continues to heal that heart and continues to soften that heart. We can find love today. That's the Christmas story. Romans 8, Paul would say, I'm convinced that neither life nor death, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from what? From what? That is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that means any relationship, any broken thing can be redeemed as God would redeem it. We can't control others and how they receive us or love us. But being engaged in high school and having my girlfriend betray me many times and find that out and break my heart that for 10 years I walked in pain, and that was the first thing God dealt with was, let me deal with the narrative that was the one you were supposed to marry and you lost her. That's the first thing he dealt with because he knew I could never love if that's what I thought. The love of Jesus' birth is available at all times of our lives, no matter what the situation. No matter where you are. Let's say you're living with someone that you hate. Let's say you're in a horrible marriage where you're being beaten. Let's just say that you're in a situation where you have been betrayed. Let's say that you're just walking a good Christian life, quote unquote, whatever that may be. I've had many people say to me, I love church and I love the Bible, I just don't love people. Well, let me explain something. Love for Scripture will always move you towards love for people. The compassion of Christ plays in our hearts. But this Christmas, for those of us who've been betrayed, this Christmas for those of us who've lost a loved one, this Christmas for those who are hating ourselves, this Christmas those who haven't had the perfect year, and that's every one of us, the love of Jesus Christ is coming forward in the person of Jesus Christ because they could not hold his body down. Resurrected as he was from the grave, sitting at the right hand of the Father, continuing to dispel the love that was put there in the manger. Working out relationships, even in the first Christmas, working them out 2,000 years later. We give you 3 points every week in this Recognize your need for love. That's the first one. You've resigned yourself that you don't need love. I was there. I don't need love. I got a dog. I remember that one. And then he ran away. I'm not kidding you. I lost my dog. So then I got a girlfriend. But the main thing was I had to realize I needed love. No man's an island. I needed love. All I really thought I needed was respect. I didn't need love. But I need love and I need to be loved. I need friends and I need deep relationships. And I don't get to write them off. I don't get to say I don't need them. Remember, the love of God in Jesus is available. It's available. Right now. And for some of us, we've never even heard that. Believe it or not, you've never heard that in the Bible, Belle. You've never heard this here, that Jesus loves you. And he's died that you don't have to live alienated from the Father and from him and mankind. And that the Holy Spirit is moving here now, wooing you, making your heart pound again. You're not a shark swimming around water, living for yourself, looking for your next meal. That's not you. You're not dead. And reflect on the times when you said yes to his yes. If you've not, reflect on the times you said no to his no. You know what I'm talking about. You heard that voice inside. You heard the voice inside. And some of you turned and said, I don't want that, and you walked. And it's been hell ever since. It's been some ups, but mainly down. He's come to redeem. There's nothing that's happened that cannot be redeemed. Nothing this Christmas stands in the way of the perfect gift of the love of Jesus Christ. Nothing so high, nothing so low. Nothing so wide. No power. No demon can hold the love of Jesus Christ back from you today. And going back to Paul McCartney, yes, the love in us is given away. 1 John says, dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. There's this symbiotic relationship of loving one another that brings the love of God in. And generally, when you're loving someone who's really quite unlovable, there's something powerful about that. It begins to happen, that generates the love of God even more because you feel it. Oh, it's easy to love people like me. But if you... Thank you, Faye. We got one. Got one, Lord. We got one. But I, in my life, had the greatest fear that everyone here has, that would never be able to be loved like I need to be loved. And I'll never be able to love someone like they need to be loved. Every one of us run with that in our lives. And I want to say today that Jesus Christ, loving through us, begins to father the children, begins to love the unlovable, begins to move in us this Christmas. Would you bow with me as I pray? Heavenly Father, I just thank you this morning. As we move here into the afternoon looking toward Christmas, would you heal our broken hearts? Would you heal the brokenhearted? The Heavenly Father, we say yes to Christmas because it's a wonderful time. The first Christmas, you went through and really dealt with a lot of stuff to make it all come together. Will you come and deal in our households, in our church, in our communities, the same way? Let your love come now, that each one of us can sing with true hearts, I'm in love, love, love. rescue us, redeem us, Lord God. Now, Holy Spirit, even as you're moving right now, and I ask you just to begin to weigh heavy on our hearts, I ask all who are standing here to stand, or all here to stand with me, as we say, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, this Christmas, and let the gift of love powerfully move us. Let the anger subside, and let us begin to engage in a way that demonstrates the love of Jesus Christ. The ministry team will come forward. As they're coming forward, I'm just going to pray over us. And I know it is your habit to wait till it clears out to come forward. But I'm asking you, even as the Holy Spirit is here moving, to come and say, I want to believe and love again, and I want to love again, receive love again, and I need healing of my body, of my heart, of my relationships, whatever it may be. But I need you, Holy Spirit, to come and follow me right now, just like that. Come, Holy Spirit. Let me laugh again. Let me cry again. Give me a heart that begins to move in the boundaries of love. Because I have to be able to hurt and able to love. And I have to be able to laugh and able to love. Come, Holy Spirit. Just begin to fall on each one of us. I invite you down. If you don't know Jesus Christ, don't go away today. I really mean it. Don't go away today with that absence. Come and pray with us. Come let us know. Ain't nobody going to get crazy on you up here. And begin to get right with the Lord in our hearts is what we want to do. I bless you now in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit, the triune God who sits now waiting to bring you into this wonderful relationship of his kingdom where love rules and saves the day. And it's the currency of the kingdom. You be blessed now in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. We'll be